Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Well, from Disneyland to the man walking, well, the first man, I should say, to walk on the moon. It's been a big week in history, and Kieran O'Connor is back with us for Throwback Thursday, fresh from his wedding in Portugal.
Yes, I am back.
Congratulations.
Indeed. Thanks a million. Back with a bang.
Yeah, you're married since I last saw you.
A married man, and I have a good colour on
you
me as well.
You have a great colour, yeah. How was it?
Ah, fantastic. I just timed my life, really did. Timed my life, loved it. Irish weddings are great, but there's something about just seeing your family and friends in the sun with a smile on their face.
Yeah, you had a big crowd.
100. And it was, perfect amount. It was nice.
Did you have any hassle with the flight cancellations?
I couldn't have picked a worse time to get married.
We were thinking of you for that reason, because you were peak in the middle of Aer Lingus cancelling flights.
In the middle. And thankfully, out of 100 people flying from Ireland, not one person was delayed.
Ah, great.
Not one person.
Brilliant.
There was no hassle.
Yeah.
A couple of people did go and book Ryanair flights to make sure they got there. Didn't need them in the end. But yeah, it was fantastic from start to finish.
Brilliant. Well, we're delighted to have you back.
Thanks very much.
Now, we're talking about this moment from 2006.
I was growing increasingly concerned that there was a lack of freedom of speech and freedom of expression, and that there was a lot of censorship, and a lot of censorship was, some of it was obvious, a lot of it was hidden.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really unhelpful and unhealthy for public discourse.
Going back 18 years, so we are at the 15th of July 2006, when Twitter was launched. You heard Elon Musk there and the reasons he bought said Twitter, which we now know as X. But Jack Dorsey was the previous CEO of Twitter, the guy who founded it, and he kind of had this idea that he wanted to set up an SMS service to communicate with small groups of people while they were in brainstorming sessions. And that's what Twitter is today. You type a message and people get to see it all over the world. So much so, they say there's about 340 million tweets per day, which is massive. It's been growing and growing and growing. One of the biggest social media websites in the world.
I'd say when you look back at it, first of all, I can't believe it's knocking around since 2006. Mm. But secondly, it has got to be one of the most influential, you might say good or bad reasons, a mix of both perhaps, but it has to be one of the most influential social media sites that was ever developed.
100%. More than Facebook,
changed.
More than Instagram.
Look how it changed politics. It's incredible. Now, for a lot of the wrong reasons, I should say too, by the way. But
of course, but it is the place that a lot of people go when they want information straight away, when there is breaking news. I mean, some people do go to whatever websites they rely on. But Twitter is always one that I would look at. It's great for finding information first, and people are always so active on it.
It is incredible, comparatively to other social media sites, how much influence it has had. It's just, it's outrageous, I suppose, in some respects. You're talking about 1951. What happened?
1951, we're going back 73 years. The Catcher in the Rye, one of the best English language novels written, according to Times Magazine. 100, or it made number one on the 100 best English language novels of the 20th century as well. J.D. Salinger published it way back when. It came to us as a novel in 1951. However, it was in a series form the previous years, originally intended for adults. However, adolescents kind of picked up on it, and it became very important in pop culture, as did the main character, Holden Caulfield, an iconic teenage rebel who was coming of age and kind of an important guy in literature, and so much so it sold 1 million copies every single year since it came to us.
Yeah, that's this week, 1951. This is a moment I know a lot of our listeners will definitely remember.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
An iconic moment from 55 years ago, the 16th of July, 1969, when man walked on the moon, the Apollo 11 mission that saw Commander Neil Armstrong and pilot Buzz Aldrin landing the Apollo Lunar Module Eagle on the surface of the moon. Mm. They landed it on the 20th of July, and then 6 hours later, Neil Armstrong became the first person to walk on the moon. He was there, followed by Buzz Aldrin. 2.5 hours up on the moon in a place they call Tranquility Base. And what a cool experience, launching from Kennedy Space Station and then splashing down 8 days later in the Pacific Ocean.
You're talking about Disneyland.
Yeah.
What happened?
Something nice. We're going back to the 17th of July, 1955. Disneyland opened by Walt Disney. That's 69 years. Anaheim, California is the place where it started off with one park.
This is the studio, is it, you're talking about?
No, this is the theme park.
So the first theme park opened in 1955.
Right. Yes, and it was that long. Walt Disney was the man about this. He was following everything. He had his nose in everything. He wanted this to be perfect. Since the one park and one hotel, it's grown. A lot of people, I'm sure, have been to Anaheim, California. Two theme parks, three hotels. They have Downtown Disney, which is just a shopping and dining and entertainment district as well. A massive amount of people, 757 million, have visited since it's opened. And across 100 acres, it consists of loads of different lands. There's a railway, there's monorail, there's the big castle, there's everything you need.
Yeah, it's a real fairy tale. Have you been?
I haven't been, but it's on my list.
To any of the Disneys?
No. I've been to other theme parks, but I feel I need to get my little Mickey Mouse ears, pop them on my head and rock around.
That can be the honeymoon. It's funny. Do you know what? It's nearly more crack going back as an adult than it is as a child.
I feel you might enjoy it more and you'll appreciate it more. And
it's
bring back the memories.
Space Mountain. Yeah. Spend the whole day going around that ride. That's Walt Disney, or that's Disneyland, I should say, 1955. The Olympic Games. What happened?
48 years are going back. The 18th of July, 1976. The first perfect 10 in gymnastics was scored. Now, I know we're only around the corner from the Olympics again, but Nadia Comaneci, the first person to ever score a perfect 10 in gymnastics. She, at the time, was 14 years of age. The first gymnast to be awarded 10 points. And that same year, she got six more perfect 10s in a row and walked away with three gold medals.
Up there with athletics and sprinting, watching gymnastics at the Olympics is just amazing. It is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Skills beyond belief.
I know. Isn't it the vault? And then when they do their free kind of, you know, whatever, the floor gymnastics running.
I'll never be able to do it. I can just watch it.
No. It's absolutely brilliant. Tell us about the number ones in this day in history.
Let's go back a bit of music. This day, the 18th of July, 1994, you may remember in Ireland, this song by Galway composer Bill Whelan was number one. It's a classic.
That's brilliant.
1994.
So recognizable.
Eurovision Song Contest, when Riverdance came into the minds of everyone across the world. Irish traditional music and dance just became a worldwide craze. That was number one for 18 weeks here in Ireland.
That's unbelievable.
Over in the UK, number one, Marty Pello and the Boys, this classic.
What a tune.
A classic tune.
That was a real first dance wedding song for a while.
Wedding videos. Four weddings and a funeral is what it was made for. That was Wet Wet Wet's cover. However, a lot of people don't know, it was recorded by English rock band The Troggs back in 1967. It's their song originally. So a lot of people assume Wet 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 are the owners. They're not. However, they covered it for four weddings and a funeral and it did it very well. It's in the UK, it's the country's best-selling love ballad of all time.
So that's the UK number one on this day 30 years ago. The Irish number one was Riverdance. What was number one in the US?
In the US, a classic, if you don't mind.
Hang on. Who sings this?
All for One, I Swear, an iconic R&B pop group. That was their biggest hit.
I was going to say it was NSYNC.
No. This was their biggest number one.
I love that song.
great song. I mean, Grammy award winning song. Yeah. They won
All
Best Pop Performance.
There you go.
And then from there, they went on to make a couple of more songs. Weren't too popular. They did get a song, however, in The Hunchback of Notre Dame in 1996.
Brilliant.
So there you go.
Listen, as always, a pleasure to chat. Kieran O'Connor from 98FM. Thanks a million, Kieran, for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.